Oh shit. If you hear that sound coming for you in the distance like a bulldozer, then you know what time it is. You're with the hammer of Jason. This is my second installment for Fight Wing podcast. And I want to talk about my past appearances on Fight Wing podcast. If you go back and listen, you'll be like, what in the fuck is this crazy guy talking about? Well, that was exactly my intention. I grew up around show business, and I wanted to play the sidekick to Natasha's straight man. Natasha gives it to you straight. She tells you what is important, what you need to know, and the truth. And I practice free speech. I say whatever I want. I want to take this moment to say thank you to Spotify for 3,000 plays or something, people listening to it that, you know, they've never once sent us a letter saying, you know, Jason's really got to knock it off. He has to stop talking the way he's talking. Because regardless of my intention, to deliver free speech was the motive when we started the podcast. I wasn't going to be the main speaker. I wasn't going to be the star of the show. It's for Natasha. She's incredibly intelligent. People who don't recognize that, you know, always get schooled by her. She was a debate champion, forensic league in high school. And coming out of it, she has always been a voice for truth, never a voice for insanity. And she is the type of person that can pivot on new information, which everyone knows that a human being must be able to pivot upon new and more correct or more factual information when it's provided. You can't just say, well, the party says that I must continue my line because it's the party. Well, that's not good enough. You have to be like able to stand on your own. And that's what Natasha does. I'm proud of her in Fight Wing podcast. I think she's done a great job for someone that goes through what she's going through. And most of you don't know. But anyway, so my point was, is free speech. Free speech is very important. To be able to say whatever I want is very important. Okay. Now, even if I was saying to you, hey, you know, Kanye West stuff, like, you know, Hitler built, you know, the microphone, you know, and I was just lying to you and being like, yo, Hitler's cool. Well, then you have to understand that it's America. And if you don't let him say what he wants to say, you could be victim to him in a sense where you could get into a situation where that person, you need something from someone like that, and they exhibit behaviors that are paramount for national socialists. They attack civilians. They're cold-hearted. They claim they have honor, but the only honor they ever have is they fought one war that they've ever fought. They lost. So, you know, they talk about the Jews being thrown out of 109 countries, but you couldn't even win one fucking war. And Christians as a whole, the only war or thing they've ever tried to do was to take Jerusalem. So that should show you, Christians, you're supposed to practice Christianity, follow your path in life. It's not up to you to run around and save the world. We're not all prophets, okay? But some of us have things to say. Not me. Unfortunately, I'm a bit of a clown, and I like to joke around, and I think it comes from my family side. We like to entertain more than we like to educate. So I'm making this podcast here to get you to go back and listen to some of those crazy episodes. You know, the best time to do it is if you got to go on a trip, you know, popping into your thing and go back and listen to them. And then I want you to be inspired to do your own. I don't want you to be like, well, what the hell am I listening to this crazy crap for? I want you to say, I should go and do this myself. I can say what I want, and I don't need to be confined to, oh yeah, you know, these horrible things are happening in the world, but yo, what can we do? Yo, what can we do, bruh? You should be like, no, I have a voice. And even if I feel like I don't even belong in America, and these people hate me, and I'm poor, and, you know, whatever you may think about, you have a voice. And that voice comes along with the founding fathers guaranteed us through the Constitution, what's left of the Constitution. It guaranteed us our rights to free speech, to say that you aren't going to do a Europe to us where, you know, people's mouths were sewed shut for saying things they weren't supposed to say. Okay. That's why in America, they said, no, we're free of that. We're coming over here to do that. And if you're Palestinian, or you identify as Palestinian, and you've came over here to protest and stuff, enjoy your free speech. But that's where it ends. Okay? That's where it ends. As you notice, the type of things I would say in my podcast, I would never go do. I mean, literally, they're entertainment. They're words, you know, that I'm adding to, like I said, Natasha Straight Man. If you don't know what that is, look it up. Google it for yourself. You know, it's just an old comedic route and way of doing things. And, you know, I believe in tradition. So what I want you to do, again, like I said, is go on back and listen to them. And you can see how we're not obsessive, weird people who are obsessive and weird about politics, okay? Because we're just obsessive and weird people about other topics, okay? Politics is something me and her both have studied our whole lives, okay? We've read books, we've read magazines, just anything you can think of. We've both ingested probably too much of politics and war. And myself, I was raised by a guy who knew Patton, okay? That's my story. And, you know, my grandfather was a great man, and he encouraged me to do great things in my life. And I always try to emulate my grandfather and try to be how he was. He was the greatest generation, went off to fight the Nazis, you know, knowing that, hey, you know, this State Department sucks. Hey, you know, this government is bullshit. Hey, you know, bureaucracy and red tape. But they still went and did what they were supposed to do. They still went and fought for our country. And unfortunately, a lot of them didn't make it back. And fortunately, I'm here talking because my grandfather made it back. And that's a testament to my grandfather's iron will, which I have a little bit of it too. So I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. And this format probably won't be like the last one because I'm going to maybe shake it up a bit because I don't feel like sticking to a situation where I feel trapped and like, oh, I got to do a thing each day like I'm on Channel 5 News and talk to everybody. I ain't going to try to get involved in that because I can't promise you that I won't burn out and disappear. So I'm going to stay here and once in a while drop my hammer as a podcast in here. But again, I am Hammer of Jason. This is my podcast. I'm Jason, and I'm dropping the hammer on motherfuckers who need to get a fucking hammer dropped on them. Because that's what the fuck is up here, you know? You want to talk about something, you can call into the same Fight Wing line and get through. You want to be on a show, come on, step the fuck up. Don't be sitting there in the background, oh, man, these motherfuckers are a bunch of pussies. Well, if you're such a pussy that you can't call a fucking phone number and set up a fucking on-phone or through Zoom interview, then you're the real pussy. So don't be going, oh, internet keyboard warriors, man. If you ain't really going to use this like a phone, then shut the fuck up and listen. Because what we're trying to do is preserve America. America works the best when everyone friggin' hates each other. Seriously. We get left alone. Everyone buys shit from the store. And we go our separate fucking ways. We practice what we want. But your freedoms have fucking limits. Okay? Because we cannot turn into Europe again. And so fighting for these free things like the 2A people do and the free speech people do, don't mistake this. This is the true anarchy of the founding fathers. This is the true agorism of our world where we want to be able to defend ourselves and live how we want. We don't want to be forced into servitude. You know where I'm going. And if you're decent, you're probably already listening to this podcast. So that's a good thing. And I'm sorry there's been a big break in mine. Like I explained before, it's not always that I want to talk about things. And then lately, what's been going on over there. Like I said, I'm going to drop the hammer, but I'm going to be back after this song. And I want you to think about what I said. How important is free speech to you and your children and the next generation? How important is it for them to grow up the way you did? If you're like, oh, well, I don't want them to grow up. I grew up horribly. Well, yeah, but you also don't want them to grow up in a world without freedom. Okay? Because that world is not the one you grew up in. I'm talking to you, all you. You all grew up in freedom. You could do whatever you want. People didn't tell you what to do. Your parents had, you know, but you want your children. And if you have children and you're listening, wake the fuck up. Teach your kids shit, because, you know, this is nobody's coming to help you. You know, I hope you all know, ain't nobody coming to help you ever. So, you know, mom ain't coming back to get nothing to help you. They ain't working. You can take as much money from people and do whatever you want to do and work at wherever you need. You can take miles and miles of money from people for doing data entry, but, you know, still ain't nobody coming to help you. You fight alone, you're born alone, and you're going to die alone. And that's my story, is that we need to carry on these freedoms for the next generation, regardless of what you think. Even if you don't have babies, you need to think, this next generation deserves to be able to practice Satanism and be all like, I worship the devil, and put up their horns and paint their eyes black, because it's freedom. They should be able to, as much as they want to practice, you know, Allah, 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 Akbar, kill all the Jews. You know, they're more than welcome. But, you know, our society has a way of handling you. Look at how the black metal bands are, that are, when they're Nazis. They can't get the same treatment as everybody in the world. So it's what it is, not what it looks like. So I hope I haven't rambled too far, but I probably have. But free speech is important. Free speech is one of our fundamental issues, that without it, those other things that you fear, that you think, oh, well, we need to get rid of the guns. Well, those things that you fear are going to go away if you can't talk about it. So they're going to get worse and bigger. So take my advice. And remember, this is the Hammer Jason. So, you know, this is not just regular stuff, right? Because, you know, I'm not under investigation or nothing, because I'm a damn nerd. All I do is read books. Hammer and Jason out.
Calling all ages, every generation. Calling all humans, we must stand, we must stand. All injustice and all wrong. Flesh flashed against the windows as them come in contact with machine built against love. What was the promise of your convention? To oversee the mindless sacrifice of every human. Buckle up, them calling my name. Them come to the front of the world, you are the savior. By a spell you call my name. With every mention of such spell, your works proclaim it. I here seek to be removed from that veil. Building thoughts, real action, proclaim. So warriors, where is your true destiny? Warriors, where is your true life? Buckle up, them calling my name. Them say come to the front of the war, you are the same. Buckle up, them calling my name. Them say come to the front of the war, you are the same. Heartbeat of the first man rings through all days. So
Survival of the fittest was never in his play. Survival of the fittest was never in his play. Survival of the fittest was never on his plate. Forged in love, formed in fire, formed in righteousness. Forged in love, forged in fire, formed in righteousness. Real righteousness, Macalox.
Hammer adjacent. I'm back. I want to talk about federalism. Federalism is the system of government in which the same territory is controlled by two levels of government. Basically, an overarching national government is responsible for the broader governance of the bigger area, while the smaller subdivisions of states and cities are governed by local government. Now, a lot of people assume from maybe listening to the Fight Wing or from talking that I'm anti-Fed. Well, nothing can be farther from the truth, because I'm a big fan of the federal government. My wife, however, does not agree with me. I believe that federalism works, and I believe that the system is a giant file folder, not a person. And it can be used for the best of everyone, because I believe the founding fathers wouldn't have left us here with a despotic reign. And the people that try to tell you, oh, well, we've fallen and the government is in the toilet and these things, these are people who want you to believe something, a false narrative. The government was meant to go completely in the toilet, stay in the toilet, and be a complete mess, because it's the government created by George Washington and them. It's not the government created by Europe or France or some place you visited where they had, you know, little tiki umbrellas in the drinks. This is America, and this is works one fucking way. We don't have a two-way street. And in my lifetime, I've grew up. I mean, if you asked me about the federal government years and years ago, I would have said, well, of course not. I mean, and of course, I'm not condoning any of the crazy shit that has happened that the federal government did, but I also don't believe the federal government is actively working against its people. I believe things happen in certain jurisdictions that are probably out of their control. I mean, Portland is a goddamn heroin shithole. Whatever happened in a Western town like that is, you know, it's not the same thing as something happening in the East or Kentucky or Ohio. So you can't judge them all the same. And things happen. And yes, people are killed and bad things happen. People get their dogs shot. All kinds of horrible things happen. But it's still not the fault of the general federal public government. They're not out to get you. They're not out to hurt you. They are what they are. They help people. They feed people. They give people houses. They try to help people all over. As a matter of fact, they bend over backwards right now to help people who are coming here that, excuse my cripples, freedom of cripple speech, but Cripple Boy decided to send a whole bunch of people here on buses, thousands of them, and our government is overwhelmed now, which was already a government that was working on a skeleton because we lost so many people. They moved away, and the people who stayed just really care about the place. They don't, I mean, the people who stayed here love it here. That's why we stayed. We don't want to leave. We're not going to, even if it gets really bad, we're still going to stay. This is our home, and we're going to, this is where we are, and it's not going to change. We don't want it to. I think a lot of people feel the same way. What am I talking about? Federalism. I'm talking about the idea that the federal government isn't Freemason elite who are, have Jewish pedophile ties, and they're trying to somehow subjugate you into doing things that you know you wouldn't do. Just like I say, no one's coming for you. You're responsible for your own actions in this government, in this system. People let you go free, and no one assumes right away, oh, you know, see the guy walking down the street? Oh, he's a murderer. Or he's a criminal, or he's going to break into my car. Yeah, some people got their own views in the world. You got to put up with it. But literally, you're free. You can get up in the morning, go do what you want, walk where you want, say what you want to people, you know, within reason. You're free. It's not something that it's not something that people get in other parts of the world. And if you've never traveled to other parts of the world, then you know, what does it matter? This is where you are. This is what's up. You're free, and you don't have to worry about it. You know, because that your forefathers. I mean, come on, if you were black, geez, your forefathers used to sit around at night thinking how to get the fuck out of this. How do I not be a slave? And then now this new generation has a choice. They're either gonna hang on to these ethics, which as nasty as they are and as inconsiderate as they are. These new ethics, these things you learn from America, you might be like, I don't agree. I don't agree with this, and it's a white power system or stuff. Yeah, but this is all we got. And what you think of it is irrelevant. It is what it is. And it's a system built to beat the European hatred and get us away from thinking in divisive little terms and let everybody hate each other. We have a good setup. It works well. And so I was just adding that to my little story about federalism, but I wanted to segue into what I was talking about with the war. Earlier, I was going to say something about the war, and I've had a lot of people ask me, how do I blah, 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 how do I do this? How can I come on to your thing? Well, look, I don't want to talk about the war. I will cover it and put up some pictures, and I'll show you some videos, but everybody already knows what I think about the war. I mean, you already know whose side I'm on and where I stand. And if you were against that the whole time, well, this is where you planted yourself, okay? So that's not my fault. This is where God put you, all of you. Everything that you all go through is where God put you. That's what I believe. I'm not like other people. I'm traditional and old school, and I believe these things, and this is how I live my life. Everyone's going through what they're going through for a reason, but I just want everyone to think about generalizing and how if you generalize a whole group of people, you're basically calling the guy who does the parking lot cleanup at the federal building is some sort of a spy for a third, fifth column of aliens that are pedophile elites. It's just insane. You're pissing on your own system, and you're being worse than the people who say they hate America. So you got to give it, even if you don't like it, you have to put that aside and you have to say, well, I totally disagree. Okay, well, after these conflicts that we're in right now, how about then we can sit and we can talk about it, we can debate stuff, but how about then? But right now, it's time for all of us to stop and think about the kind of world we want to leave for our kids. Do we want to have a federal government where it works out the way it is, where you got the feds and you got the local, or you want to turn this into some other Roman bullshit? Where motherfuckers are walking around with shields and spears, and when that gets out of control, it ain't gonna go back ever again. You'll be talking about how you with your kids, you'll be huddling in a fucking room. If you're not tough, you'll be huddling in a room, talking to your kids about how back in the day you used to just go to the store and get your food. Nope, not no more. You push the envelope, and it already is a wasteland out there. There's already a big lacking of jobs and love. I mean, come on, what the major economy out here is fucking beer because everybody's goddamn drunk. It's all beer. Everything that people buy, beer. There's something to do with beer. Broken bottles everywhere. Everything's beer. And it's not just in my town. Every fucking place is like this. Everyone drinks to forget and they party away in the city. And they don't realize that the federal government keeps these cities safe and keeps these cities so they're not like Ashdod in Israel, which constantly sees for the last 36 fucking years somebody throwing a piece of shit in the air at them that's on fire. Okay? Put it into consideration and think about what side you're on. I can understand if you've been raised to say, well, I've been raised to not trust Jewish people and not trust Jewish people in leadership. And if you look at the leadership of the country, the federal government's run by Jews. Okay, well, maybe they excelled at their position and got hired. Why don't you give everybody a chance? And why don't you do what the Christian Bible tells you to do? And like I was raised, be a good Christian. When you see another cowboy on a trail, don't rape him. Don't take his shit. And don't kill his fucking family. You know, be a good Christian. You can't, he's another cowboy on a trail. What Hamas did was inexcusable, and nobody out there can say in this day and age, in 2024, that we should have returned to the fucking 1200s with that attack, where people who were just sleeping and had no, they weren't even ready for it. I don't care if they were trained soldiers or anything, because, you know, they weren't ready for it in Beirut either. And I grew up in those times, okay? I lost family in Desert Storm. I have a dog in this fight, but the fact of the matter is, the way we go forward and how we respect the state and our politics is going to become very, very, very important. People will come back and listen to what I'm saying and go, geez, this moron warned us. Yeah, I'm warning you now. If you don't step up to the plate and teach your kids how to vote, and go vote and believe in voting and pick a candidate, you are no better than the people who hate us and the people who scream, I hate America, and they're in the streets spitting and they're angry, even though they're on, you know, government checks. You're no better. You're no better. And if you call yourself a white person, you're an upstanding white person, you know, you want justice for whites. Okay, well, vote your fucking candidate in, for fuck's sake, so we can have a debate. Otherwise, you don't have shit. All you have is a bunch of shit talking, hatred, and negativity to add to the story. There's nothing good. You need to humble yourself and come on down to the real strip. Those are your children, and those are our children. We're either going to let them see freedom, where they can walk in peace and drive in peace and get their own cars when they're driving age. We can let them have that and keep it going because we say so. Or we could just let it all go. Let it become administrative, like you live in Target now. And then everything's taken care of you. It's all cleaned up, you know, because you're administrated. Every time you go in one of them corporate places, you're being administrated. They're trying to lead you around the store, tell you what to buy. I mean, that's what's going on, you know. Or you could go to Walmart where they don't really administrate you that much, but then you become people of Walmart. So the bottom line is, be careful what you think of others. Start thinking about yourself. Start thinking about your kids. Think about what they're going to grow up in. Quit being like, oh, this all fucking sucks. Fuck America. I'm with my boy over here who's, you know, we just want to destroy Israel. We fucking hate America. All right, motherfucker. You think those religious motherfuckers are worse in Atlanta that are flapping Bibles around? You literally think they're as bad as the Taliban? You're fucking crazy. You're just fucking crazy. And if you open that box, you're going to see what happens when you open that box, because that's no fun. Speaking from someone who came from an evangelical background. My family was very much into God and going to church. And never in my time did we say we had to kill the unbeliever. I mean, never. We didn't say that. We didn't say we had to kill the Jew. We didn't say we talked about love and Jesus and talked about great things that Jesus did. And we didn't. So get with the fucking narrative here. If you have fucking children, put all that bullshit aside and start thinking about your children. Okay? Because if you lived in a place like Ashdod or Israel, let's just go with the whole Israel, and for 36 fucking years, somebody's trying to kill you, and you're surrounded by the biggest people. Look at how them protests, you know. Leave them the fuck alone. You know? It is what it is. So this all started with the rant on federalism. And so now, you know, I guess I got to take a run for the ghetto border because, you know, it's time for getting them Taco Bells or something like that. Hey, 13 minutes? Jeez. They talked for about federalism about 13 minutes. People are going to be like, glowworm. But, you know, bottom line, national government and the smaller political subdivisions have the power to make laws, and both have a certain level of autonomy from another, one another. Okay, you don't get that in other political positions. You don't get that. That democracy you're looking for is in federalism. That autonomy is the only thing left. Because if you agree that it's fucked up, think about your kids. Think about the future. And how's it going to be? What you going to do? Hammer and Jason smacking another windshield. I spot the hills with yellow balls in autumn. I light the prairie cornfields, orange and tawny gold clusters. And I am called pumpkins on the last of October when the dusk has fallen. Children join hands and circle round me, singing ghost songs. And love to the harvest moon. I am a jack-o'-lantern with terrible teeth. And the children know I am fooling.
So you can't get dirty, come down and
stay. Hey there, I'm back again. This is the Reggae Spotlight. And today's artist is Dennis Brown. Dennis Emanuel Brown. Born 1957 and sadly left us behind in 1999. He was a great singer. I mean, this is a guy who he had a lot of pipes and he knew how to use them. He also, his career began in the late 60s when he was about 11 or 12. He recorded more than 75 albums and was one of the major stars of a sub-genre of reggae that us in the know call lovers rock. Dennis is he's a lovers rock champion. I mean, his music is it's either anti-government or it's pro-love. He spread love more than anything. Bob Marley cited Dennis as one of his favorite singers, and he said he was the crown prince of reggae. And he said that Brown would prove influential on tons of people in the future. They would listen to Dennis Brown, and they'd find that love for reggae. You know, Dennis Brown was born in Victoria Hospital in Kingston. He got billed as a boy wonder before when they took him out early. He sang Desmond Decker's Unity and Johnny Taylor's Ain't That Loving You. And the kids, after the audience showered the stage with money the first few times, he was able to buy his first suit with the proceeds. And, you know, he probably was like so cute, little Dennis Brown up there, 12-year-old, singing Ain't That Loving You. And that's Johnny Taylor. You could look that up. And just imagine little cute Dennis Brown up on stage singing Ain't That Loving You and doing Desmond Decker's Unity. I bet you probably did some other Desmond Decker too, which is even more cool. I mean, the level of cool there is just way past the thing. And here's some trivia. Guess who the band leader was? Fucking Byron Lee. Byron Lee and the Dragonaires, the rest of us know him. He performed on the same bill, and he was so impressed that he booked him at those shows after he seen him sing that. And that was Boy Wonder. Later on, Brown said that he was more influenced by Delroy Wilson, as he said it was the greatest influence on his style of singing. Delroy Wilson, Errol Dunkley, John Holt, Ken Booth, and Bob Andy. Now, why this is important is because if you listen to all those guys, it's almost like you'll feel the same vibe that Dennis Brown was putting out. And Ken Booth is probably the more, I guess, Rude Boy Rocksteady character, because if you look at him when he's younger, you know, he's got the short hair and the shoes and the pork pie hat and everything. He was definitely a Rude Boy singer, and he was ranking, and everybody knew it. The first recording for Brown, I'm reading this, said it was called Lips of Wine, and Derek Harriott produced it. And if you know these names, you're like, geez. So you got to think, Dennis Brown is like the super baby of reggae. He got to work with a lot of people. He recorded for Clement Cox and Dodd's Studio One in 1969. That was his first No Man is an Island. And, geez, just think about that stuff. He worked with Prince Buster, went on to work with Alton Ellis and Horace Andy, Herman Chin Loy, Vincent Chin, Dennis Al Capone. His international success was big. The whole, you know, Cassandra was a real big song for him. No More Will I Roam, Africa, Love Ja. These songs became staples on the London sound system scene, and people played them religiously. And it was like, you know, you got used to hearing Dennis Brown and enjoying him and listening to his stuff. When I write a song, I try to follow Joseph's way. Deliverance through vision from all. True vibration. I want to be a shepherd in my work. Teaching and learning, really singing so much. I don't want to sing and not live it. I must live it. If I can sing songs that people can watch me live in, then they can take my work. Brown's 1994 album, getting all the way that far up, was nominated for a Grammy. It was the last album recorded for him. By him. He developed respiratory issues because he had a little bit of a drug problem throughout his life, and mainly cocaine. And let that be a lesson to you that no cocaine. Cocaine will mess up your breather. And he had a big service, and at the service, he was buried in Kingston's National Heroes Park. And live performances with Maxi Priest and Shaggy to tribute him. And people, you know, all of Jamaica cried as much as they probably cried for Bob Marley, because here's a man who the general conscience and the idea of Dennis Brown was the happiness and love and music and fulfilling happy times and people thinking back, oh, when I was a kid. So Dennis Brown, he left us with a lot of songs, a little bit more than you think. I mean, if you go look them up, there's a lot. He worked with a lot of artists, and he sold his songs to people, and they passed them around, and people used them as, you know, like, what's that? 1980. This is the Slave Driver dub. So, you know, he's very influential. You hear that? If you like Bob Marley and that's it, then you need to listen to Dennis Brown. Ranking. That's back, you know. That's backed up shit right there. It's good. It's nice. It's smooth. It's what you want out of your experience when you're listening to reggae. So, anyway, this has been the PRS, Peoria Reggae Society's Reggae Spotlight, and this one was on Dennis Brown. For more information about us or to get involved with one of the weekly or monthly events, go to reggaenight.net. And I think it's the Indeed page there right now, but you can look at some of the past events we've done and what we're about. And you can see me next time on Fight Wing Podcast, Hammer of Jason's Reggae Spotlight. Slide. And
Thank you.